कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांग स्वामिनिति नामिने विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांग स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी अशतादिशतारिणे नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्यादेशतारिणे नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्यादेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद Thank you. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन 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 यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna. Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna. Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Shri Krishna. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Shri Radhe. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radha Gopala Nanda Radha Gopala Nanda Radhe Jaya Radha Gopala Nanda Radha Gopala Nanda Radhe Jaya Radha Gopala Nanda Radha Gopala Nanda Radhe Jaya Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman 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 Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Mishupada Paramahamsa Paribrajagacharya Ashtotrashata Shri Shriman Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Nitrila Pravishto Mishnupada Paramahamsa Paribrajagacharya Ashtotrashadashri Shriman Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharashila Prabhupada Ki Ananda Kodi Vaishnava Vrindaki Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sakho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurav Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Govinatha Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhani Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Madhurapuri Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Dwaraka Puri Dham Ki Ganga Mai Ki Yamuna Mai Ki Tulasi Devi Ki భక్తిదేవికి, సామవేద భక్తవృందకి గౌర ప్రేమానంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాగయ చక్షురుమిళితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాదిం సుభదాంబికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుధాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుదే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే బృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుదే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధూభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధనామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం. నమోస్తు దే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే హుల్లారవిందాయ దవత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైల పూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపాం ప్రపన్న పారిజాదాయ తోత్రవేత్రైక పాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమాం. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదే వసుదం దేవం కంసజానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతడా జయధ్రతజల గంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతి కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామాభికర్ణ ఘోరమగర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవాం. పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః ప్రేభీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంగజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుద స్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదైర్ సంగపదేర్ క్రమోపనిషదేర్ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. Discussed the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is in reference to what Krishna calls as the the samsara vriksham, or the tree of material existence. That's what we were talking about, isn't it? The 15th chapter. The yoga of the Supreme Person. Krishna calls it as the Purushottama Yoga. So, here, we saw the first three verses, Shri Bhagavan Vacha. What did Krishna say? Urdhamulam athashakham avyayam ashwattham prahu chandamsi esebarnani tam yaha veda saha vedavil. Other words, urdhamulam, the tree has the roots upwards, athashakham, and the branches are downwards. And avyayam, it has no destruction. Ashwatham, the Ashwatha tree or the banyan tree. Prahu, Vedas talk about this, that chandamsi, Vedas, yasya parnani, the leaves of such a tree, tam, that tree, who yaha, one who knows that tree, Vedaha, saha, he is actually knows the essence of the Vedas. That was the first verse, which we discussed last Sunday. Then, later on we saw the next verse. Adashchordhvam prasadastasya shakha gunapravardha vishaya pravala adashchamulani anusandhadani karmani bandhini manushyaloge. Krishna says, gunapravardhaha, because of the three modes of material nature, satugunam, rajogunam and tamogunam, because of these three modes of nature, this tree has become very large. It is growing very well, and they are the presence of these three. Because of that, it has grown very well. The tree has grown well. Vishaya pravalaha, and the new sprouts that's coming out, which shows the growth of the tree, is what the sense object. Vishaya pravalaha, and tasya shakaha, the branches of such a tree. Krishna says, adaha, it goes into the world down the lower planets. And also, urdhamja, it goes into the higher planets as well. In other words, it comes to the earthly planet and it goes to the heavenly planets as well. Adha, adaha, and the urdhamja also, on the both these worlds, the worlds at the bottom, that means bhulokam and then the swarlokam, anusandhadani, the roots are spread around in both these worlds, Krishna says, mulani, those roots, because these roots are the cause of actually the sense enjoyment. Through these roots, it's sucking the senses. Senses are sucking the happiness from there. Manushya loke, in this human world, earthly planet, karmanu bandhini, and they causes karmam later on. It generates karmam for everyone. So that was the second verse. And in the third verse, Krishna says, narubamasteha tatobalabhyade nando na chandir na cha sampradishta ashwathamenam suviryudhamula asanga shastrena dridhena chithva. Krishna says, iha, in this tree of material existence, those living entities who are living on that tree, like all of us, asya, this samsara vriksham, or this tree of material existence, tatha, which has got these features of upside down, rupam, the nature or the form of that tree is na upalabhyade. It is never known by anybody. The nature of this tree is not known to anybody, the form of the tree. Because the tree changes for everybody. For everyone the tree is different. Although the tree exists, it is not one tree everyone is experiencing. Everyone is experiencing a different tree. And secondly, the tree is larger for some people, the tree is smaller for somebody else. So, na upalabhyade. Then, ashwathamen adihi nacha. Nobody knows the beginning of this tree. When did this tree begin? Andaha nacha. He also does not understand the end of the, when the tree is going to come to an end. Sampratishtana also does not understand how the tree exists. How it will exist. How does it exist? Tasmal, because of this, this samsara tree or the tree of material existence is difficult also, and it is causing problems for the conditioned soul. Therefore, suvirudhamulam, its roots are very much gone very, very deep into the earth. Or in other words, its roots have gone very deep, more than the tree itself. It's so long the roots have gone, which shows that the tree is very deep rooted. In other words, it's very, very strongly fixed. The tree is very strongly fixed. And enam ashwattham, this ashwattha tree or the banyan tree, dridena, with the very powerful force of the of knowledge, with the powerful knowledge and renunciation, asanga shastrena, with vairagyam or renunciation, one should cut. Chitva, after cutting that, tadaha, afterwards, yadaha, from where it has originated, from where it has come, purani pravarti prasradaha, that for a long, long time, this tree has been in existence. This tree has been in existence. And ta evacha adhyam purusham prabadye. One should cut the tree and go back to that person from where the tree has originated. It is in a language of the poetic language Krishna is speaking, simply telling us that with this sort of knowledge, and with the sort of knowledge, one should cut this tree, what is actually causing the material existence. If one is able to cut that tree through processes, through knowledge and through renunciation, from detachment, vairagyam, jnanam and vairagyam, Krishna says, asanga shastrena dridena chitva. If one is able to cut that tree, then he can go back to the spiritual world. In other words, goes back to his origin. So, up to this point we discussed last Sunday. Now, from now on, Krishna is going to talk about few other things. Tadaparam dal parimargidavyam yasmin gada na nivartanti bhuyaha tameva jadyam purusham prabadye tyada pravrti prasrada purani. Krishna says, tadaha, afterwards, yadaha, from wherever this tree has originated, purani, which has been existing for a very, very long time, pravartihi, the activities of material life, material existence in other words, prasrada, which is spread everywhere, and tam evacha adhyam purusham, by taking shelter of that Supreme Personality from whom the tree has originated, prabadye, when one surrenders unto him in pure devotion, then what will happen? Yasmin gadaha, those who have reached that position, which they have, those who have reached that position, bhuyaha, never again comes back to nanivartandi. They do not come back to this material world once again. Talpadam, that location, parimargidavyam, one should inquire about that. That's what Krishna is saying. Yasmin gada tadaparam dal parimargidavyam yasmin gada na nivartanti bhuyaha tameva jadyam purusham prabadye yada pravarti prasrada purani. Krishna is saying that we must approach that place. From there, we don't have to come back once again to this material existence. So, in all these chapters in the Jnanamargam, referring to Jnanamargam, Krishna is saying again and again, repeatedly mentioning to us
that one should inquire about the soul and come to that identity as our as spirit soul. One should come to that platform of spiritual identity. That is what simply it means. So, in order, what is causing us not able to do that, it is this material existence, samsara vriksham, isn't it? Samsara vriksham is stopping us in realizing our true identity. So, therefore, the tree has to be cut at any cost. If we don't cut the tree, then there is no possibility of realizing our identity. You will understand these things a little bit more better when we come to the next few verses. Only thing is, the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita is to be realized. It is not to be understood theoretically. It has to be realized. And Krishna is telling us the possibility of realization. How? By cutting through this process of knowledge and renunciation. First, Krishna explained to us the nature of the tree. How does that tree exist? Secondly, Krishna tells us how to cut the tree by this knowledge and renunciation, detachment. Otherwise, it's not possible to cut the tree. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, as we go, you will see so many topics discussed in this jnana margam, jnana process, are individual topics in order to help us in realizing this truth, in order to help us in realizing the truth. They are called in Shastram as Prakaranam. Prakaranam means individual topics Krishna discusses, individually, separately he discusses. If you get involved in this and get your mind absorbed in that, then you will get the benefit from that. But if you don't get absorbed and involved in it, rather just take it as another topic. Krishna said so many things, another one he is saying like this. If you accept it that way, it will stay like that. It won't go beyond than that. Often when we talk about the knowledge in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, people find it very, sometimes they find it boring, sometimes they find it difficult to understand also, and sometimes they just think that I don't need all these things. Actually, that's not true. Otherwise, Krishna wouldn't have wasted his time. He is much more busy than us. And he didn't have to waste his time don't have to know these things. Particularly, without this understanding of this tree, without the understanding of the process of getting out of this cycle of birth and death, Krishna is bringing to us so many different angles he is presenting to us, so that every one of them, if you can't take all of them, at least to take one of them and properly absorb that into one's own way of thinking and able to get over this inertia coming from one's own mind. Basically, why it is like that is the deep tamogunam inside. That is what is causing that problem. The very, very deep tamogunam inside. Most of us are finding it even to recognize that we are in tamogunam. That's a difficult part. So long as one does not recognize that they are in tamogunam, and it is the tamogunam that is causing this, making the person less interested to know this, to understand this truth, what Krishna has spoken. So, with the deepest tamogunam, he tries to go away. That means what we talked about before, that the tamogunam's nature is not to allow a person to think or to recognize or realize what is being discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. So that is what we were saying before. So Krishna is saying here that in this particular verse, what yadaparamdal parimargidavyam yasmin gada na nivartandi bhuyaha tameva jadyam purusham prabaddi yada pravarti prasada purani. Once, when one has gone back to that situation from this material existence, from where he would not have to come back again, one should inquire about that place, Krishna says. One should inquire about that place. And this is where we miss the point. Most of us do not have much interest because we think, oh, so many people are saying so many things, where we will go after death. But let me sort out first here where I am today. In this way, our deep-rooted ignorance and our deep-rooted tamogunam in us is forcing us not to go further than that. It is stopping us. The one thing what one has to realize is, as long as one is in material existence, as long as one is in material existence, he is not going to inquire about the truth. is not going to inquire about the truth. So Krishna is saying here, because both these things are opposing to each other. In other words, the spiritual world and material world, they are opposing each other. They are opposed to each other. The interests are different in these two worlds. No matter how much knowledge one has, all his experiences in this world is materialistic experience. He doesn't have any spiritual experience. Everything is material, isn't it? In relationship with his senses, with his body, and with his mind, and intelligence, he is experiencing things in this world. Therefore, everything what he is experiencing is materialistic. So, unless one has experienced something beyond material existence, unless one has experienced something beyond the material existence, he is not going to inquire about this. And only for such a person and can inquire seriously about the spiritual world or the state of realized state. Therefore, before we start this inquiry about, the soul, one has to free oneself from material existence. This is a very important point, that as long as you are stuck here in the material life, it is not possible to inquire about the nature of the absolute truth or to get our mind absorbed in that. These two things cannot work together. Therefore, when the Atmanvesanam or the inquiry about self begins, he has to first disconnect with this world. It's necessary. And if you don't disconnect it, what will happen is the progress will be extremely slow. Sometimes, in a spiritual mood, sometimes in the mode of material enjoyment. Because they are contradicting each other, the material life and the spiritual life, when one comes to spiritual life and begins the inquiry about the absolute truth, or life after death, or the nature of the soul, or his identity with the soul, if he has to capture that, he has to break away from this world of material life, from this world of material existence. And because most of us are not prepared to do that, we are finding every step more difficult. We are finding it is taking a very, very long time. So those who made progress are those who have broken this connection in 1 second and taken to spiritual life. For them, that is possible because they are finished with this material life and material existence. So you can see why there is delay in all our cases, why it is happening so late. So, in order that Krishna is feeding something for our mind and intelligence to absorb, by thinking about all these things, our mind will get more serious about spiritual life. Krishna is telling us about this material existence. Normally, we don't even realize that we are in material existence. We think we are all very highly spiritual, aren't we? But the fact is, how much materially absorbed we are, that will come to that in when we talk about the next few verses. And the deeper you absorb in the thoughts of this material existence, the deeper you will realize your own position, where you stand in this whole cycle. In this whole cycle where you stand. It's not something like this. For example, there was one man, he says, he had this habit of borrowing money from others. He had the habit of borrowing money from others. So he lived in one village and he was borrowing money from people, but he was never returning it. He just borrowed it and took it and never returned the money. So eventually what happens? Everyone stops giving to him, isn't it? So he kept on doing this for some time, and then one day somebody told him that we know you very well, so I cannot give you any money anymore, he said to him. He said, fine, that's okay. He left his village, went to somewhere else. And then he asked somebody there to borrow some money from someone. So that person told him, I don't know you. How can I give you money? I don't know you, who you are, where are you coming from. We don't know you well, so I can't give you any money. So he says to him that in the other village where I am staying, they are telling me they know me very well, so they can't give me any money. Here when I come and ask you, you are telling me you don't know me, so you can't give me any money, he says. So what is this, he says. Arjuna is not asking like that to Krishna here. Don't misunderstand that. Arjuna is asking questions and Krishna is explaining in such a way that everything has to be taken seriously, what Krishna says. And the whole philosophy of Bhagavad Gita totally helps a person to develop his spiritual life from there. And the interesting thing in Bhagavad Gita is that everything Krishna touches and gives an insight into it to Arjuna. It's for Arjuna to develop it further. We are all Arjunas in this case, isn't it? We are all Arjuna. Krishna is not teaching. Krishna is expecting us also to have certain qualifications in us to understand Bhagavad Gita. It is not just a blanket lecture Krishna has given to us. Now here it is, you take all this, go and sit down and read and then go back, come back to Godhead. No, He has given to us to think and to reflect on it again and again. Through different ways Krishna is presenting the truth to us. And they are not contradicting each other. Never you will find any contradiction between one chapter to another. They are all complementing this one thing, that is how to get out of this material life. That is what it is talking about. So in order to develop that mood of thinking, in order to develop that process of thinking in us, Krishna is opening up different channels. Come through this route, come through that route, come through another route. So different chapters are channelizing into the same truth at the end. And you will find that if you take any one of them, also you can get there, provided you have the deepest realization from that particular route. Either jnanam, karmam or bhakti, or the different sides of the jnanam, they are all directing us to the same and one truth, which is Krishna, absolute truth. So, here, so far we have discussed, and Krishna is saying here, that one should inquire, Arjuna, Krishna says to him, from where this material existence began? Where did the material existence began? It began from Lord Brahma's planet, isn't it? From there, the whole tree started sprouting, the creation started, we all came out, we got different bodies, we started kept in changing the bodies, this and the other. The cycle continued for so long, and now we are here, somewhere in that process. So, Krishna says, you must cut this tree and go back to where you came from originally. So, tree has to dry up. That's the goal of all these things. Now, in the next verse, Krishna is talking about that process. In one verse, Krishna has packed such an important message, which Srila Prabhupada has quoted in the introduction also. It is such an important verse, this next verse. Such an important verse, that simply by knowing this one verse, Krishna says you can go back to the spiritual world. That is how Bhagavad Gita is. Every single verse is so pregnant with knowledge and realizations. So, what does Krishna say? Narmana moha jida sanga doshaha adhyatma nitya vinivrta kamaha dvandair vimukta sukha dukkha samyer gachandhyamuda padamavyayam dal. Narmana moha jida sanga doshaha. Narmana moha. Narmana moha means what? One who does not think about himself. In other words, he is free from that prestige and pride and things like that. He is free from that. Sometimes we say about some people, oh, he's very shameless, he says, isn't it? Actually, all the self-realized souls are shameless. Strictly speaking, they are shameless because they have gone beyond, only two different ways. In the material sense, when we talk about someone, when somebody does some disgusting thing, either in the material activities, we say about him, oh, he is shameless to do such a thing, isn't it? Often we say like that about people. People who live without any ethics, they behave in life. Or they without any principles, they act. That at that time we say, oh, he's very shameless. But in spirituality also, the shamelessness exists, but on a different plane. It's on a different plane. So this thing, what Krishna is talking about, that the realized soul is nirmana moha. He does not have any kind of manam and avamanam. In other words, he is not thinking about insult and honor. He doesn't have any things to hold on to. He has gone beyond. Why? Because he has come out of the bodily concept of life. It's only the bodily existence, all these things matter, isn't it? Jida sanga doshaha. Nirmana moha jida sanga doshaha. Jida sanga dosha. Jida sanga means that one who has given up that kind of association, which is not favorable for spiritual advancement, that is jida sanga dosha. So So one who is released from that, he is actually released from that problem of attachment. You see, he has no sangam anymore. He has no more attachment to anything. Chita sanga doshaha. The sangam is one important thing. That is, our attachment to this world is called sangam, isn't it? The sangam. Krishna will talk about sangam in different places in Bhagavad Gita. At some places Krishna says, sangam tetva, one has to give up the sangam. The sangam means our attachment to various things in this world. So Krishna says here, jida sanga doshaha. Sangam is a dosham. It's actually a dosham for us. And dosham has to be gone. Dosham has to go. Sangha dosham, it is called. The problem due to association. Jida sangha dosha. One who has won over from the sangha dosham. One who is released from that. Then, adhyalpanityaha. Totally committed to spiritual life. That's very important. Often, this adhyalpa nitya, most of us do not have that, isn't it? For us, our adhyalpam life is for a few hours in a day or few hours in a week. That's our adhyalpam. And that is not what Krishna is talking about here. Krishna is talking about someone who is 24 hours in spiritual life. It is for them all this is spoken. So, adhyalpa nitya vinivrutta kamaha. One who has released from, free from all kinds of desires. One who is free from all kinds of desires. Nirmana moha jida sanga doshaha adhyalpa nitya vinivrutta kamaha. Then, dvandvair vimukta sukha dukkha samyair. Dvandvam. What is dvandvam? Dvandvam means what has been caused by material existence. In the duality of the material world. This is called dvandvam. Dvandvair vimuktaha. One who is free from dvandvam, Krishna says. This dvandvam is always with us, all the time, to see everything as two in this world. Everything is two in this world. Just like we see things like many things, only we can see as two, isn't it? Just like we see black and white. When it is in black and white, we like it, isn't it? Because that makes it easier for us. Somehow or the other, that's our taste, that black and white thing. So we say to others also, give it to me in black and white, he says, isn't it? We tell people. Why? Because only then we can understand it. That dvandvam is so strong in us. That's why. Similarly, everything in this world, if you look, it is dvandvam, isn't it? Boy and girl, happiness and distress, and night and day, man and woman. Like this, this duality is specific to the material life. This duality is specific to the material life. And it is so deep-rooted in our consciousness that we cannot relate with anything without duality. I don't know whether you have thought about it. When we see something, if there is a duality existing, then we easily relate with that. That is because of our conditioned mind. We accept it in that way. The conditioned nature. Everything in duality. So that dual nature has to go from the mind. Dvandvair vimukta. Because in duality, what's happening is, the mind is develops an attachment to one or the other. Just like heat and cold. Sometimes we say, we like both, but we want up to a certain level what we like, isn't it? To some degree it should be hot, to some degree it should be cold as well. So, we don't like heat or cold excess. Or so, why this duality is pleasing to us? This is the nature of the mind. This is the mind that is causing this problem. So, whole problem is coming from the mind. Mind is the source of all this duality in this world. Actually, strictly speaking, the soul has nothing to do with it. The duality is not experienced by the soul. Soul doesn't have anything to do with it. But then who is experiencing? The mind is experiencing. Mind experiences that and imposes that onto the soul. And the soul very happily accepts it. Accepts in the sense, soul is unable to fight it. Soul is unable to fight it. See, in this connection, to understand this a little bit more in depth, you need to put your thinking also a little bit into it. How the duality affects us. Dvandvair vimukta sukha dukha satyai. Sukham and dukham. In other words, happiness and distress in this world, what we are experiencing is duality. Strictly speaking, there is no sukham, there is no dukham also for the soul. Soul has no sukham, soul has no dukham. And we know very well, we are not this body, we tell everybody that we are spirit soul, Prabhu. So if we are spirit soul, why are we concerned about sukham and dukham? In other words, although we accept in theory that we are spirit soul, we have not got anywhere near to that, isn't it? We are nowhere near to that. We are still thinking, I am this body, and therefore, sukham and dukham, the happiness and distress is disturbing us. So, Krishna says here, for one who wants to go back to the spiritual world, one who wants to go back to the spiritual world, he must have a minimum qualification is all these things. What are they? Nirmana moha, free from the all this pride and the honor and dishonor and things like that. Freedom from that. Jida sanga doshaha, free from the attachment to the various objects, from sangam to the various objects of this world. Adhyalpa nitya, fully fixed up in spiritual life all the time. Vinivrtta kamaha, free from all kinds of desires. No desires exist for such a person. Then, dvandvair vimukta, and freedom from this duality of the material world. What is that duality? Sukha, dukha samye. In the name of happiness and distress, we have defined certain things in this world. Oh, I'm happy to have that. I'm happy to have that. I enjoy that. And something else I reject because I don't like it. So, these kind of perceptions has to go. Dvandvair vimukta, sukha dukha samye. Then, gacchandya mudha padamavyayam dal. That person can go, he says. Where to? Such a person. What kind of person is? Amudha. Amudha means, who is not mudha. Mudha, everybody knows what mudha is, isn't it? So everybody calls this mudha. So you are a mudha, they say. So what does it mean? Mudha means more or less like a person who is very stupid. So, foolish person. So, here we are talking about amudha. Amudha means, who is an ex-mudha. We are all ex-mudhas actually. We are mudhas, no doubt about it. But we are not still totally mudhas at the moment. Otherwise we would not have come to Bhagavad Gita, would we? Those who don't take to Bhagavad Gita, you can call them as mudhas. They are mudhas because they don't have that intelligence to understand Krishna's instructions. Nor do they have any interest that shows their mudhatvam or that stupidity in them. So those, amudha actually means the ex-mudhas. The ex-mudhas. So people like us who are ex-mudhas. So, gachandya mudha, such a person, Krishna says, padam avyayam dal, he can go back to the spiritual world. So, Krishna has laid down in front of us, what will give you, what is there, you, how can you get your ticket to the spiritual world? What all you need for going back there? That's what it is in this, that's why this verse is so important. That if you can memorize this word and think about it in length, at length, you will see there is a lot of things Krishna has spoken, what is expected of us in spiritual life. And when we don't develop that, when we don't develop that, then why we should cry about it? That, oh, I have prayed to Krishna, people say, I have prayed and prayed and prayed, but there's nothing has happened so far. And we get frustrated and keep complaining about it. And then one day we leave Krishna consciousness and go. But Krishna consciousness is not a cheap thing. Krishna consciousness is not a cheap thing. You can see the sacrifice you have to make to come to this platform. And it is these type of personalities who have gone through this and succeeded. They are the people who go to the spiritual world. Who go to the spiritual world. It's obvious. It's very clear. Krishna is making it very clear to us that this is the qualifications I need from you for you to come to me at the end. Nirmana moha jidasanga doshaha adhyalpa nitya vinivrtta kamaha dvandvair vimukta sukha dukkha samyer gachandya mudha padamavyayam dal. That's why this verse is so important. And now the question, if you read the Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport, there Krishna Prabhupada will say there that it is very simple. It's directly you can study this verse and then go back to the spiritual world, isn't it? That's how it's put there. So, it shows that Krishna can only tell us what is required. It is up to us to develop it, isn't it? And that requires effort from our side. If we don't put any effort and say and we say that, oh, the spiritual master will do everything for me, now I've been initiated, I don't need to do anything anymore, then that may not happen. That may not happen. It is falsely, we should not misunderstand things, that everything now I have handed over because I got my ticket. No, you haven't got the ticket yet. All you have is that you have been allowed to take to this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, that's all. That, and spiritual master's duty is to make you aware of the requirements, basic requirements for studying Bhagavad Gita, that's all. But after that, what to take it further from there, that you have to study what Krishna says. Otherwise, how can we get there without doing all these things? This one should think about it very seriously. So that's why, how to become Nirmana Moha, how to become Jadasanga Dosha, how to become Adhyatma Nityam, how to become Vinivrta Kama, how to become Sukhadukha Dvandvair Vimukta, Sukhadukha Samnyer, and all these kind of things. How do we get there? This is the thing what one has to go think about in detail. So, in these situations, when things are like that, what should one do? What should one do? We have to take more and more shelter of the Krishna's instructions. More and more shelter of Krishna's instructions. That is why, in several instances, Srimad Bhagavatam can be a great help. Bhagavatam can be a great help. Now, this thing called Dvandvair Vimuktam, how to get out of the duality, how to get out of the duality. Fortunately, there is one discussion Krishna has done with Uddhava on this topic, how to get out of the duality of this world. Now, if you don't read these books and study them seriously all the time, this will not penetrate into our mind. Where here, Krishna only talked about Dvandvair Vimukta. Krishna says like that, Dvandvair Vimukta. How to become Dvandvair Vimukta? That Krishna has discussed in the Bhagavadam. Krishna has discussed in the Bhagavadam. And when you start discussing those verses in the Bhagavadam, again it brings us further questions for us. How, what are the things Krishna has spoken there? While at Gurukula, Krishna and Balaram were going to Gurukula with Sudama. In the studies didn't last very long, as you know. How many days Krishna studied? Chadushpashti matrai rahobim. 60 days. That is how many days Krishna has gone to school. He didn't even get any basic qualifications. Not even O-levels, A-levels, nothing. Just Chadushpashti matrai rahobim. But problem is, in 60 days he came back, the title, Sarvajnyatvam Sahamusalinam Sarvavidyam Grihitvaha. When he came back, he has become Sarvajnya. Sarvajnya means one who knew everything. That was the difference. Yeah? That was the difference between Krishna's education and our education. We spend almost more than quarter of our life in school and college, and when you come out, if you ask him what does he know, he doesn't know anything. Virtually, he is as ignorant as he was when he went at five years old to the school about spiritual life and spiritual knowledge. Nothing is known. So this is the kind of difference in the education. Krishna's education was such, in 60 days the whole studies were completed. Balaram and Sudama were with him at that time. So while during this process, during this time when he was at Gurukulam, they used to go together for evening walk. All three of them, Krishna, Balaram and Sudama. There were only three students in the class. The teacher to class ratio was very good. Sudama, Krishna and Balaram and Sandivani Maharshi. So one teacher and three students. So Sandivani Maharshi used to let them go in the evening for walking, and they used to talk different things, have a little bit of exercise and playing at that time. But rest of the time, totally committed to Sandivani Maharshi in serving him. Sandivani Maharshi and his wife. They were such good students that Sandivani Maharshi was so pleased in teaching them. And in one of those days, while Krishna was there, he had an opportunity to go one evening walking with Balaram and Sudama. And something Krishna spotted that day. In the bank of the river, one bank of the particular river where they were having their Gurukula education, he saw an old Brahmana there. And this Brahmana was sitting and he looked very exhausted, very tired. By his looks, he looked exhausted. Krishna observed him very seriously, what was happening to him. So the Brahmana had some food with him, and he has brought that food in a bowl, and he had one blanket, and he had one bamboo rod to fix himself on the ground, like a walking stick he was using that, and a water pot. That's all he had, nothing else. Some food in a bowl, a water pot, a blanket, and a walking stick, a bamboo stick in the hand. With that, he had come to the river bank at that time. When he arrived there, there were some cowherd boys who were tending the cows there. So these cowherd boys, when they saw this old Brahmana there, they just wanted to have some fun with somebody. And an old person is the best one to pick, isn't it? Very easy to tease him because he can't physically do very much. And these youngsters got that mood of making some fun out of the old Brahmana. So they went up to him. And Brahmana looked at them. So one of these boys said to him, "Give me that blanket," he says. So he was hesitating. He pulled the blanket out of him forcefully. Another one took out his water pot. A third one took his bamboo, what he had in his hand. He was old and he couldn't fight with anybody. He was so old. And then what was left was this food in the another bowl, what he had. Someone else took that also. All four things they have taken away. They have been taken away by different cowherd boys. They took it away. And when he asked for the water pot, that boy will tell him, "Go and get the blanket first, then I'll give this to you." When he go and ask for the blanket, that boy will say, "No, go and get that bamboo first, and then I'll give this to you." When he ask for the bamboo, he will say, "Go and get your food back, and then I'll give this." Like this, the four of them were teasing him and having some fun from there, these cowherd boys. And Krishna is saying all these things, what was happening. Didn't do anything. And Krishna just observed what was happening with this person. So this old Brahmana, his idea was to wash his hands in the river and to come and eat this food. That's what he wanted to do. So unfortunately, when all these things happened, normally what would have happened? Anyone will get angry at that time, isn't it? We will immediately lose our control and will go mad after somebody and see what we can do to punish them, or that will be the immediate reaction from anyone. Krishna says to Arjuna, Krishna says to Uddhava this story, and there he says that this old Brahmana didn't get angry. On the other hand, he sat there and sung a song, Akambidaha. In other words, he was least disturbed about what has happened. He was least disturbed, because only if you are not disturbed you can sing a song, isn't it? Can you sing a song when you are very angry? Nobody can sing a song when you are angry, can you? So you have to be in a pleasant mood to sing a song. So by saying that he sang a song, Krishna was indicating to us the kind of control he had on his mind. To what degree he had controlled his mind. That in irrespective of such a provocative actions from these boys, and that too after going through a very difficult life earlier, when he was totally rejected by his own village people, and with great difficulty and in starving mood he has managed to collect some food, and he has come there to eat that food, and this is what has happened. One of the boys put some sand into the food what he has collected. The other ones won't return there his things anymore. But in spite of all these things what happened, the Brahmanas stayed there and sung a famous song. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, chapter 23, is called Bhikshu Gita. He is called a Bhikshu. Bhikshu means one who takes bhiksha from others. Bhikshu Gita. In order to get the mind under control, Krishna speaks to Uddhava. There are four chapters. One through this process of Bhikshu Gita, another through the process of studying the philosophy of jnanam, knowledge, process of knowledge, third one through studying the modes of nature, and The fourth one talking about the Ayla's experience, Pururavas' experience and his realization. So, two personalities he presents there, Krishna presents there, and two philosophies he presents there. In other words, four different chapters, through four different ways how people control their mind, Krishna discusses with Uddhava. And there, in that particular chapter of Bhikshu Gita, where the discussion with the Krishna and the Krishna is observing all these things, what was happening, Krishna says to Uddhava the whole story of that Brahmana, what happened to him, what was his previous life, how he came to this situation where he was able to control his mind to such a degree. All these things are discussed in that. And that Bhikshu Gita, at the very end of Bhikshu Gita, Krishna says, one who wants to get out of the dualities of the material nature, dvandvair vimuktaha, one who wants to free oneself from the dvandvam, he should study this chapter. He should take this chapter seriously and study it, and then he can free himself from the dualities of the material world. So, Krishna expresses to Uddhava, it is Krishna spoken to Uddhava, but in relationship with Bhagavad Gita, this verse, if anybody asks, how do you get yourself free from the duality? The answer is this. Please study that chapter in the Bhagavadam 23, chapter 23 in the 11th canto. That will get you released from this bondage of duality, from this duality of the material world. So you can see, the topic is not simple. It's a very, very, very grave topic. We read something, and because we don't think very much, so we think, oh, this is nothing. What's this? So such a big deal. It's making out of it. Finished. Our study is over. Move on to the next one. So we didn't understand this, nor we'll understand the next. That kind of study won't help. The study means to get absorbed in that deeply. Deep absorption is necessary. Otherwise, all these philosophical things, what Krishna has spoken, will remain completely an unknown entity to us. And that is no good. And if it is like that, then our spiritual life is going to be a long haul. It's going to be a long haul, because it's not going to produce further. With our limited spiritual realizations and spiritual knowledge, there is no possibility of knowing what are the obstructions in the spiritual path, what we have to face. And when Krishna says all these qualifications are required, and we don't have it, then what can you do? It is not said to discourage anyone from spiritual life. It is only spoken to make aware that the responsibility what we have in spiritual life. And when we are not studying all these things, we should not look for quick fix arrangements. There is no quick fix solutions to these problems, except to study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam day after day after day. That is what will get us out from this material existence. That is what will give us the strength to cut that material tree of material existence. But as long as we don't do that, it becomes very, very difficult. Now, Krishna says there, we will not discuss that topic completely today, because the same thing will come in Ekadasha Skandam. But just to give a little insight into that verse, of the words from, there is only, the Brahmana spoke about himself, about 15 verses. Those 15 verses is adequate to get out of the material world, if it is understood properly and followed properly. Because like so many other topics in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, we would not take it seriously. We will, on the surface, we keep touch and go. And then therefore it has no desired impact on us also. But Krishna says there, Dvija Vaja, Dvija, the Brahmana has spoken like this. Krishna says to Uddhava, the gravity of the discussion between Krishna and Uddhava, or Krishna and Arjuna, we are not even able to appreciate that. That's our problem. That we don't even realize it, how grave the topics that is being discussed in spiritual advancement. So Krishna says to Arjuna, Dvandvair Vimukta Sugadukha Samyehi, how to get out of this duality of happiness and distress, Dvandvam? How can we happen? And that is what Krishna is talking to Uddhava through this one chapter of Bhikshu Gita. And in that Bhikshu Gita, there is only majority of the part of that chapter refers to his life in this world, this Brahmana's life, who spoke at the very end. And it is that Brahmana's words, Krishna has kept it in the mind. Krishna kept it in the mind. When what he heard when he was a student at the Gurukulam, what he heard from the Brahmana, Krishna has kept it in his mind, And he spoke exactly those words to Uddhava while leaving this world. So you can see, everything what we need to learn in spiritual life is also there in this world. Only thing, we require that kind of prajna or intelligence to capture that, what is required for that. So in this particular exposition or particular topic what Krishna has discussed, Dvija Uvacha, he begins with that, the Brahmana has spoken like this. First, Krishna spoke about his life in the past, about the Brahmana's life, how the Brahmana came to this situation. I'll briefly touch through its go, because when we discuss Bhagavatam Ekadasham, we'll come to that in detail later. The Brahmana had a lot of wealth, a lot of wealth. He accumulated so much wealth, because, and he had such a great deep attachment for that wealth, what he has accumulated. And he was a very miserly person, won't even given to his wife and children enough. He will just keep an account for what they are even taking from him. So that was the kind of Brahmana he was. So somehow or the other, he accumulated a lot of wealth, and with this happiness was accumulating wealth. That was his happiness all the time. And he became so wealthy. Somehow or the other, the karma brought him such a lot of wealth. And in one day, what happened was, the Brahmana's situation changed. Life is like that, isn't it? Today you are there, tomorrow you could be here. That can happen in anyone's life. It happens in many wealthy people also. The same thing can happen. Wealth is not something which will stay with everyone all the time. Sometimes it stays, sometimes it goes. But what happened to our Brahmana was that few things happened at the same time, more or less the same time. The result was that he lost everything. The house caught on fire, and when the house caught on fire, the neighbors, because the Brahmana has never given anything to anybody, he never believed in that. You will only get if you are given something to somebody, otherwise you won't get it back, would you? So, the Brahmana was such a person, he was so miser, such a miserly person, didn't want to give anything to anyone, and that is how he lived. Not to talk about outside people, even to his own family members, he didn't want to give. Just enjoyed counting the notes every night, sitting there and counting how much he has made every day. That was his happiness. So this Brahmana, once it so happened that his times have changed, or in other words, he was going through a hard time. The house caught fire, and neighborhood people, they all came there, and they all thought it's the right opportunity to get something out of him. So they exploited the situation, took whatever wealth they could from the house, and they escaped, they left. The king got upset with him on some issue of paying taxes or something itself. King sent the bailiffs to collect whatever he had from him. So the king took away everything from him. And his business collapsed. Whatever business he was doing, that also collapsed. Lot of people who owed him money, they wouldn't give it back to him. As soon as they realized that he is in a weak situation, to claim, to get the money back, you know, the people who lend the money, they're always at your throat, isn't it, to get it back with this interest, like APR, I don't know, 25% or 30% APR, they want it back. So, the modern banks are not much different than this Brahmana, you will see that. If you compare, only thing they do it in a polished way, the Brahmana has done, it was on an individual level, he was doing that. Whatever it is, so this is what has happened. He became bankrupt, in other words. Everything was lost. The house was lost, the savings were lost, and the king's men were after him to get whatever he had. Everything was gone. So ultimately what he did was, one day he realized it, there is no point in staying here. Because everyone in the village did not like him. No one liked him. Because he never gave anything to anybody. Everyone was against him. And so even when he asked for some food, they won't give it to him. He was such a awkward situation that he has to beg for food. One time, a very, very wealthy person. So it happened, he decided that let me leave this place. It's no point in staying here. No one is showing any recognition of me, nor they are considerate to me. And he knew very well that he hasn't done anything for anybody. So at the end, he leaves home with this blanket, water pot, and a begging bowl, and one bamboo in his hand. He leaves home, and with one cloth on his waist, he left the home, walked away from there. And then he didn't beg for any food in the village, went to the next village and begged for some food. People who didn't know him, they gave him some food. That's what he had in his bowl. It is with all these things he has come to this river bank where Krishna, Balaram and Sudama has seen this scene. They have arrived. And he talks about this whole thing there. So, after coming here, I mentioned to you what happened to him, how the cowherd boys treated him. So, with all this experience, he sat there and sung this famous song in the Srimad Bhagavatam known as Bhikshu Gita. This Bhikshu Gita is one of the four Gitas in the Ekadasha Skandam. Ekadasha Skandam has got four Gita. First time Krishna introduced Dattatreya Maharshi, and that is called Dattatreya Gita. And then Krishna himself comes as the swan, or which is called as Hamsa Gita. And then he has got what is known as Aila Gita, the song of King Puriravas. And then now, lastly, we have got this businessman who became bankrupt and gone through this. It is called Bhikshu Gita. Bhikshu Gita, Aila Gita, Hamsa Gita and Dattatreya Gita. These are the four topics Krishna has discussed in Ekadasham with Uddhava. And through these four topics, Krishna has shown to Uddhava how one can get out of this material world. That's the beauty of that. That each four of them are independent, but each one of them offers the highest transcendental knowledge. And Uddhava was relishing listening to this from Krishna. You could see, when you read through Bhagavatam, you will find every moment Uddhava appreciating Krishna's kindness to him for giving this transcendental knowledge of what he has spoken in these four things, in these four different topics. So Bhikshu Gita is one of them. And the history of this Brahmana who had come to this situation. Let us look at those verses, what he spoke. We'll not go through, there's about 15 or 16 verses, but we'll touch through one or two verses, and the remaining, when we come to Ekadasham later, we'll talk in detail. Because if we go through Ekadasham and start discussing this, our Bhagavad Gita won't progress very much. So let us discuss one or two verses now, just to get a taste of it, how Bhikshu Gita was presented and what that Brahmana was talking about. As much as we understand these personalities and their way of thinking and their mind, that will also give us a little understanding what spiritual life means, isn't it? Those who want to understand spiritual life, they need guides all the time, guidance from great personalities like this who have realized spiritually what is spiritual finally in their life. And it is their realizations that is what is spoken there. Otherwise, if we don't read all these things and thinking that, oh, I know that story, I know this story. Story is fine. You know so many stories. But story is not story. Story has got something more to offer than the story itself. And therefore, in the Bhagavatam, if we go to that chapter, which is the 23rd chapter in the 11th canto, Brahmana says here, what does Brahmana say? Brahmana says, Dvija vaja, Dvija, Dvija means Brahmana said, Nayam jano me suga dukha hedo na devadalma graha karma kalaha manaparam karanamamanandi samsara chakram parivartayedyal. That is the beginning of this word, this song, what the Brahmana has sung. It is called Bhikshu Gita, and the first verse in that is this. Nayam jano me suga dukha hedo. Krishna, Brahmana says, Nayam janome sukadukha hedu na deva dalpa graha karma kalaha. That the cause of my unhappiness, sukham and dukham, which is the dvandvam, isn't it? Sukham and dukham, the cause of my unhappiness is not any of these people. He's talking about the cowherd boys who come and done that to him. He says they are not responsible for this. This topic, what we are going to discuss today, topic of Bhikshu Gita, in spiritual science, it's one of the most exalted topic. Jnanis love this chapter, this instructions of Bhikshu. This Brahmana's instructions, Jnanis love it. Why they love it? Because this knowledge in these verses, if it is properly gone into a person, it will bring that consciousness of that Brahmana in him. That's why they say that those who have understood this alone, you don't have to study anything else. Just this is enough. These 15 verses in the Bhagavatam, what the Brahmana has spoken. And if it is properly churned and struggled and studied and understood it properly inside, that's enough to get out of the material world. That is the potency of this. That's the potency of these verses. So you can imagine what an important position it has got. Great acharyas and authorities in the Srimad Bhagavatam commentator, Sridhara Swami and all that, they give so much value to these instructions and points out to us also, those who are trying to come to that path, take note of this, take note of this, what that Brahmana was talking about. So Krishna presents to us to these personalities. What he wants to tell us, he tells us through these personalities. Because rather than Krishna telling us directly, oh, do this, do this, do this, Krishna thought it is best thing is to say through people who have done it. And that way we will also realize it, that it is possible to develop that if one puts the effort towards that. Isn't it? So just like in this case, the Brahmana lived a materialistic life, a very, very deep materialistic life. And like any other hardcore materialist, he worked hard, earned money, and at the end lost everything, and then came to his senses and became successful in spiritual life from there. So if it can happen to him, it can happen to anyone else. So that is a better example, better way of showing to us by bringing the story of this Brahmana to us. So in spiritual science, this prakaranam or this topic is a very important topic. It's a very important topic. And the more we reflect and the more we go into it and understand it, the deeper the strength what we get from that is so powerful that it can help us to get over the material world. That is the potency of this chapter. Bhikshu Gita. Nayam janome suga dukha hedo na deva dalpa graha karma kalaha manaparam karanam amanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. That is the first verse in the Bhikshu Gita. Brahmana says here, ayam janame sugudaka hedu na bhavati. Ayam janame sugudaka hedu na bhavati. All these people are not the cause of my distress. First thing, that's what he says. What do we do when somebody does something to us? We are ready with a knife, aren't we? To put it in straight away. You are the one who has caused me all the problems. That is how we deal with this world, isn't it? When somebody acts in a very rude way to us, or does something which we didn't like, immediately we react to that situation. Brahmana says, Nayam janamme suga dukha hedu. None of these people are responsible for my situation here. Then, what else he says? Devadadeya cha na bhavadi. Not all these demigods, if they have done something to me. No, they also have not done anything to me. Samsara chakram yal parivartayed. This samsara chakram means this cycle of birth and death and material existence is going on for me from a very, very long, long time. It is happening. Parivartayet tat manakparam karanam amanandi. And the cause of all this is my own mind. Manakparam karanam amanandi. Nayam janome sukadukha hedu na devadalpa grihakarma kalaha. Manaparam karanam amanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. So just like we spoke about this tree, isn't it? Samsara tree, material existence. Now Krishna is talking about samsara chakram. Chakram means a wheel, isn't it? What kind of wheel? In this wheel, we keep rotating all the time. Samsara wheel it is called. Wheel of samsaram. And the beautiful, this wheel sometimes brings you to the top. It's just like this giant wheel or that big BT's place there, isn't it? It's a big huge wheel on which you can go up and down like that. Like that kind of wheel. Where sometime you are on the top of the wheel where you are a demigod or a higher position in the human life. Sometimes the wheel comes down on the bottom where you are a dog or a cat or a snake or whatever that is. Sometimes you are like a plant or a tree. So 8.4 million different chairs are on this wheel. You can sit in any of those chairs and keep rotating one after the other. You can't escape from that wheel. The wheel goes on and on and on all the time. So here the Brahmana is saying, I am on that wheel. I am sitting on that wheel. And the wheel is moving on all the time. But the interesting thing about this wheel is not running by a powerful motor or electricity or anything. There's a thing called inside me, called this mind. It is this mind that kept this wheel going for so many lifetimes. So many lifetimes. This wheel has been moving for so long at high speed and low speed, depending on the thing called mind inside. So he identified where the problem is properly. That was his success. He identified the problem, where it is. Problem is this mind. Mind has caused everything. And how to get out of this? And he is discussing that point. This one topic alone, mind alone, that is the topic of discussion for the next 15 verses. You see, next 15 verses. We do not give much importance to these things because we think, what is there so much to talk about the mind? Mind is there, it will go on like this, and what can we do? No, it's not like that. The reason is that if you understand the role of the mind in us, then only you can see the depth of the complexity of the whole situation. How entangled we are with this thing called mind. And that's what makes it much more difficult to free ourselves from. And even if you want to, you are not able to. You are not able to do it. So, Nayam janome sukadukahedu nadevadalma grihakarmakalaha manaparam karanamamanandi samsara chakram parivartayetal. If you understand this wheel, you can possibly, Krishna says, escape from material existence. If you understand this wheel. And if you understand, because it is such an important topic, I don't know how to say the stressed importance of this subject in the Bhagavadam. That such an important topic that without the understanding this, Krishna says there is no possibility of escaping from material world. So, who created material existence? Krishna says, who created material existence? The mind has created the material existence. And once the mind has come under control, Krishna says material existence is over. There is no more material existence after that. So, what does this mind mean? Mind means nothing but a continuous flow of thoughts, isn't it? Continuous flow of thoughts. One after the other. It keeps coming. Some thoughts makes us happy. Some thoughts makes us unhappy. Isn't it? Happiness and distress. Both comes from this very same mind. That's what's interesting. You don't have to go anywhere else. It is the same mind that gives you the feeling of happiness and distress. So in other words, continuously thoughts coming into the mind, and they are always giving you different happiness and distress. Sukham and dukkham. So in other words, dvandvam, we discussed before, that dvandvam, sukham and dukkham, is nothing but a product of the mind, as long as that is goes on. What Krishna is saying here is that once the moment the flow of these thoughts stops, the moment the flow stops of these thoughts which are coming one after the other, immediately the mind stops. Immediately the mind stops. And as soon as the mind stops, you are self-realized. You are on your spiritual, you are spiritually realized. In other words, you have identified with the soul at that point. So this is where so you can understand that in simple terms, if you discuss it, you can say that the mind is the main problem, what is actually not allowing us to realize our true identity, spiritual identity, the soul, spiritual identity. It is not possible to know. Now, why the mind is so absorbed like that? Because mind has one nature. What is that? Mind has this quality, it will mix with the modes of nature. It will mix with the modes of nature. It has just rajogunam and tamogunam particularly. Rajogunam and tamogunam particularly. When it mixes with the modes, how does it mix with the modes of nature? That also we have to know. The way it mixes with the modes of nature is, everything in this world is under the modes of nature, isn't it? The door, the window, the photograph, the lights, the floor, and indeed persons. Everything is under the modes of nature that we have discussed before. Trigunyal bhinna bhedam. Everything in this world is under three modes of material nature. Prakritihi bhuvane heenam madhyam uttamam, that whatever material nature is showing to us in this world, what is manifest in front of us, if you see that, you will notice that every one of them is under the modes of nature. Under the modes of nature. Either it manifests in the form of color, or it manifests in the form of its qualities, or it manifests in some other way, like sometimes its reactions to different situations. So somehow or the other, the modes of nature are in everything. And the mind, what it does is, when the senses are open to this world, the senses are interacting with this world, it brings the modes of nature to the mind. The mind makes the contact with the sense objects. Mind makes the contact with the sense objects. And as soon as that contact is established, it absorbs the modes of nature from that particular object. From that, these are all very, very subtle things. You cannot question this and show it to me and prove it to me, and you can't ask that. It is Krishna's instructions, and it is discussed by the Acharyas. How the mind interacts with the three modes of material nature. So when it is in contact with a particular object, it absorbs the modes of nature of that object. So you can imagine, whole day, the mind is doing only one thing. It is interacting with different modes of nature, different objects. You see a car, you see an elephant, or you see an aeroplane, you see the roads, you see the trees, you see the plants, you see the animals, you see different individuals whom you meet. Continuously, what's happening? You're only acquiring the modes of nature, the mind. Mind is interacting with the modes of nature. That's what is happening. And in this interaction with the modes of nature, because in most of the cases, it's Rajogunam and Tamogunam. It's Rajogunam and Tamogunam. What happens is, when it gets absorbed in that life, in that way, Gunabhavam, the modes of nature will expand in the mind. The mind will get expanded by the modes of material nature. In addition to that, inside the mind, what else exists? Your own vasanas, what you have brought forward from your previous life, in the previous lifetimes, like we lived in so many different bodies before, didn't we? So all those different bodies, different activities also we have performed, perhaps in the different human form, human bodies we had before. There also we had certain vasanas we have created in us due to our own activities. So these vasanas and these gunas which has been absorbed by the mind, they mix together. They mix together. The result of all this is that they will not allow you under any circumstances to escape from its grip. This is what is the situation. That 24 hours we are under the control of this powerful thing called mind. Powerful thing called the mind. And it is this mind that is making us to feel hunger, thirst, happiness, distress, and similarly all other kinds of dualities. Everything is coming from this mind, isn't it? And sometimes happiness, sometimes frustration, sometimes disgusted, sometimes jubilant, sometimes blissful, and sometimes this, sometimes that. All these different emotions, where does it originate from? It originates from this mind which has acquired the modes of nature and which has its vasanas which has followed us from previous lifetimes or from our activities in this life. So just see how powerful that mind is. And it is this mind that keeps us in this wheel all the time. Samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. That's how Brahmana says. Brahmana says that this samsara chakram, the wheel is going on because of this manaparam karanamamanandi. Mind is the cause of this. I have identified this long ago, he says. Brahmana had good experience of this before, you see. After he went through all what he had gone through in his previous days in his life, he realized it, that this is all false, what I am going through. And he came to his senses. Only good thing about him was that because he had gone through that experience, he was able to identify the problem very well and able to utilize that and identify and take the correction what was required. And that's what he did. So he says here that most of us, what do? We say, I am suffering because of this. I'm suffering because of that. But Brahmana knew very well, if I had identified myself as the soul, all these things what we are talking about, happiness, distress, frustration, jubilance, and all these different emotions, it is nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with me, because I am soul, I am spiritual, isn't it? And that is what Shastra is saying, and I am spiritual. But what normally happens is, that this thing called this powerful mind, it controls the soul completely. The soul cannot escape. And the soul, what it does is, it identifies with the mind, and thinks that I am experiencing. The living entity thinks at that time, that he is not able to think at that point, that the mind is doing all these things. Nobody gets that realization, it's the mind that is causing the problem. What he does is, he identifies himself with the mind. You know, although theoretically he knows that he is spirit soul, he doesn't have to think that he is not the mind. He knows that he is not the mind. But then what he does, he identifies with the mind and accepts all these experiences of happiness, distress and frustration, everything as the activities of the soul. That is where the whole thing begins. Then, so long as Jiva means our living entity, ordinary living entity, that does not experience anything. The soul has nothing to do with any of these things. Everything is experienced by the mind. But none of these things will go into our head. And then what do we do? All the modes of nature, what the mind has acquired, the living entity thinks it is his modes of nature. I am under the three modes of material nature, and he suffers from that. And that is what the jiva does. So this is the first realization the Brahmana had. That the three modes of material nature is this world. The world is nothing but three modes of material nature. The soul, the person, the individual, his mind deals with the modes of nature. And due to association with the modes of nature, it expands inside different modes of nature. So from this you have to know, the more you get absorbed in the material world, the more you will increase your modes of nature and the mind. You see? This is the one reason that in the olden times, those who wants to go into the spiritual path, they first break away from this attachment to this world. And also, they will make sure that the least that is to deal with this world, it's better. The least that you have to deal with this world, it is better. If somebody can't do it, that is what normally we do, isn't it? Because we can't do it, we are unable to do it, then you have to take to such processes which is simpler and which may take a few lifetimes, such processes we go into. You see? Whereas, if someone wants genuinely to go back to leave this material existence once for all, then Krishna is saying here, that Krishna is very forthright about these things, that this is required and with that this can happen. Otherwise it won't happen. So when we can't keep on asking questions whole lifetime, is it? You keep on asking questions, keep on answering. Now I have another question for you. Here it is, he says. That is no good. That question will go on like question. Questioning is not thing. First thing is to accept what Krishna says here. Nayam janome sukadukha hedu. Sukadukha hedu is not any of these people. Then, manaparam karanam amanandi. My mind is the cause. What's the point in me looking outside for the solution? What is the point in looking outside for the solution? That's what most of us do, isn't it? I have to sort that out. Like this, I'm sorting out all my life, one thing or the other. And one day, material nature sorts me out, and I'm gone. So, my sorting out is over with that day. So, one who has come to the senses, he has to study this Bhikshugita seriously. And the explanations of Bhikshugita, each of these verses is so powerful that in itself, if it's understood and accepted properly, then you don't require anything else. Even Bhagavad Gita, you can drop it. You can drop rest of the Bhagavatam also. It is so powerful, this one particular topic of Bhikshugita. Otherwise, Krishna wouldn't have spoken these things to Uddhava at the time when he was leaving this world. It is for, Krishna says, by studying this alone, because the topic is so grave and the topic is so deep, that simply by absorbing in this words of the Brahmana, one can realize the truth. That is how powerful it is. So, coming back to this again, the mind does these things, isn't it? So the nature of the mind is to have a mixing these thoughts that is coming through as well as the modes of material nature. So Krishna says here that the material's nature, which is in this way explained, Krishna says, the game that the mind plays, Krishna calls it as a game that the mind plays, that Rajogunam and Tamogunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam and the Vasanas, that is what is inside the mind. Krishna says like that. And the nature of the living entity, individual soul, is to take everything what the mind does as its own. That's where the problem begins. When the jiva, living entity, thinks that what the mind is experiencing, he is experiencing. Or another, I am experiencing that. And immediately the problem starts with that. The jiva begins, experiences the material existence. Now, what does jiva means actually? This is also a question. On the one hand, we know very well that jiva is part and parcel of Krishna, isn't it? And Krishna by nature is eternal, blissful and knowledge. But we by nature, eternally miserable and eternally ignorant and fully realizing our temporary nature, isn't it? So totally opposite. So why is that happening to us? One hand Shastra is saying that we are part and parcel of Krishna. If we are part and parcel of Krishna, we should be experiencing the same bliss like Krishna, experiencing the same knowledge as Krishna, and experiencing also the eternity of our existence, isn't it? But none of these three exist in us. We know very well, isn't it? On the other hand, we have taken whatever the mind has told us. We have accepted that as the absolute thing. And we make our life based on these injunctions from the mind, or the instructions from the mind. So therefore you can see that all of us, our way of life has to change if we have to absorb this knowledge into us. We have to reject many things what we are conditioned by. We are conditioned by. So Krishna says here that the jiva, what is this jiva? Thing called jiva. Jiva is Krishna's part and parcel. But the material is the same. Material means the substance is the same as Krishna. The soul, the substance is the same as Krishna. But it has become a jiva, a conditioned nature it became when the Krishna's part and parcel is reflected in the intelligence. It's reflected in the intelligence. Because it is the soul that is reflecting. In Shastram the word used is bhayanam. Bhayanam is the word they use for that. So, the moment the spirit soul, individual soul, Krishna's part and parcel, as soon as it reflects in our intelligence, immediately it becomes jiva. What does that reflection mean? Reflection means, sometimes we have to take it in this way, that if you look at the consciousness of a person, mainly what we call as the andhakaranam. Andhakaranam means four things. We discussed this before. What are they? Manasa, mind, buddhi, intelligence, ahankaram, false ego and chittam. Chittam means that continuous flow of the vasanas from previous life. Or that is what is chittam. So all these four things called is called andhakaranam. Andhakaranam means the internal organs. We have the external senses. These are called the internal senses. They are also senses, but they are called the internal senses. Subtle side, the subtle things. These subtle things, its gateways are these external senses to the world, to make contact with the modes of nature. Unless we understand the anatomy of our own body, how this whole system works, from Krishna's way, we will not be able to follow this, what Krishna has spoken. So you have to give a little bit more attention to this, what we are discussing now. It is necessary, otherwise it will not click into the head. So, the senses which are interacting with the world are the windows for the andhakaranam, the internal senses, including mind, intelligence, false ego and the chittam, the four things together. They interact with this. So what happens at that point is, Krishna says here that this reflection, as soon as it reflects in the intelligence, immediately false ego comes up. That is why Jiva has got false ego. Krishna has no false ego. You see? Because this Krishna's part and parcel, as soon as it reflects in the intelligence, ahankaram comes, false ego comes. And once false ego builds up, he feels that the result of that, the reflection brings some problems also. Now, where did this reflection happen? It happens in the knowledge, isn't it? It happens in the knowledge. Because in intelligence, what is happening? Intelligence and mind, strictly speaking, there is not a big difference. Only in its activities there is difference. Otherwise, it is not something what you can separate it and say that this is mind, this is intelligence. They are one and the same. They are all part of one unit. You know, just like you have you have sometimes one package, and in that package, so many things are functioning. But it exists as one package, isn't it? Similarly, mind, intelligence, and chittam, and ahankaram, and all, they are all in one unit. But we only call them by different names due to its different activities. We mentioned this before. Buddhi makes determination to do something. Mind does the analysis, sankalpam and vikalpam, and separates it out and picks one, and buddhi fixes its mind on that firmly. And ahankaram brings the false ego that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And chittam brings a continuous flow of the vasanas from previous time. And all this is happening in our subtle body. In our subtle body, all these things are happening. So when it comes like this, when it comes to this stage, the chittam is influencing with its vasanas, and the intelligence has got its false ego now, which has been created because of this reflection of the soul. And where did this reflection happen? Reflection has happened in knowledge. In knowledge. Why? Because what happens with the mind and intelligence? With mind and intelligence, we perceive this external world, isn't it? That's what it's happening. And what is for us, what is our existence? Our existence is nothing, but we perceive this whole creation in front of us through this mind and intelligence, and this exists within our knowledge. And where did this capacity come for the mind and intelligence? It came from the soul. Because the soul is capable of perceiving things, that ability to perceive things has come to intelligence, and mind is able to perceive this world because of that. You can easily understand this. It's not so difficult. I'll tell you why. In vacant state, you realize all these things, isn't it? That you know this, you know this, you know this, you know this. So many things you know. Just like different objects you know, different individuals you know, and different places you know. So many different things in this material world is known to you in the vacant state. In the vacant state. But the moment you start going into dream state, what happens? There is no more feeding of information from the existing material world. It stops there. Why? The windows have been shut. Isn't it? The windows of the mind and the intelligence, which are the senses, that senses have gone out of action. The sensors have stopped its function. The result is that it is that time that the vasanas comes in very strongly from the hidden mind inside, which were in storage. So the vasanas gets a much more predominating opportunity to control your mind at that time. That is why in the dream state, as soon as you come to the dream state, it is mostly the vasanas that is influencing your dreams. It's mostly the vasanas that is influencing the dream. So what will normally happen is, in the vacant state, you are experiencing the external world completely, isn't it? You are experiencing the external world. But as soon as you go into the dream state, the external world is not anymore disturbing you. Why? Because that knowledge is stopped at the moment. The sensors have been withdrawn. Remember what happens when you crosses beyond the dream state as well. The moment you go to deep sleep, immediately the So, as soon as the senses stops, the waking state and the dream state goes off, in deep sleep, you are not experiencing the world anymore. Isn't it? The world is not experienced by us at all. World is not experienced at all. So what does it indicate? It is indicating to us that this so-called knowledge, what you have experienced in Jagrat state or in the waking state, or whatever you experienced in the dream state, is only valid for that particular state of existence. It's not the absolute thing, is it? It's only for that state of existence that is valid. Similarly, when you go into the deep sleep state also, which is known as Sushupti, in Sushupti states, you are not experiencing anything. You are not experiencing anything. In other words, Tamogunam is predominating at that time. Tamogunam is predominating at that time. And with that predominance of Tamogunam, even any least, whatever little possibility of any knowledge or anything happens at that time doesn't exist either. Now, the fourth state of existence, which is beyond these three, which is known as the realized state, or the Turiyavastha, they call it in the Bhagavadam, referred to as Turiyam. Once you come to these, the fourth state of existence, you will notice there, this is the experience of those who have gone to that state. They see that all these three states are false. All these three states of existence are false, because they are not true in the from the absolute level, the absolute platform, because only the realized state, that you are realized as spirit soul, isn't it? You have realized as spirit soul. Once you have realized as spirit soul, at that time, all these things becomes false. All these things becomes false. Presently, our problem is this. We have not realized that state, but we have accepted this as everything and truth. You see? So that's where the difficulty is. So, to a person who has not experienced that side, whereas all his experiences in this world are true for him. For him, it is true now what he is experiencing here, at this point in time. He does not know about the other state of existence, the fourth state, or the Turiyavastha. He has not experienced that. But he has experienced this at the same time. So if you tell that person that what you are experiencing today is false, he is not going to accept it. He cannot accept it, because his experience tells him that this is true, what to do? So this is where the spiritual realized person lives in a different world altogether. And he is experiencing his experience is different than our experience. And he is talking to us from his experience there, and we are talking to him from our experience here. So, and these two experiences are not matching. They are two different experiences. So we blame him that you have gone crazy. And he tells us that you are all crazy anyway. So this is what is going on. You can see the point, isn't it? That in our material calculations, we don't want to leave this, because we have somehow experienced this and found that this is truth. We are so convinced about that. And who does this job? This man called mind inside. It is the one who is causing this whole problem. Mind has done this wonderful job to us, that he has made us totally convinced that what we are experiencing in this world is the only truth. And this is the only truth that you should follow up. There is no other truth exists outside this. We don't even give any care, any attention to while going to dream or deep sleep. Because that we think we are only doing it for doing this Jagrat activity. That's how we perceive it. But from Shastri point of view, all these three, Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti, all three are equally false. They are equally false. And because they are false, in these three states of existence, whatever is spoken to somebody about spiritual world, spiritual life, spiritual activities, identity of spirit soul, nothing will get into the head. And who is doing this wonderful job inside? It's that mind who is doing that. It's the mind. Mind is so powerful that he keeps the jiva under its thumb, keeps it under his control. And jiva is struggling to come out of it. No chance, no hope at all. He is so powerfully controlled by the mind. And this is what the Brahmana is talking about. Nayam janome sukadukha hedu. None of these are my cause problems, he says. None of these. Why blame these cowherd boys? What have they done? They have done something silly. I don't have to take that very seriously. It is me inside that man called mine. That thing called mine that is causing me this problem. Na devadalma graha karma kalaha. Why blame the demigods? Why blame karma? Why blame planets? Why blame the time? None of them are responsible for that, he says. Actually, when I keep saying these things, it will be very difficult for most of you to accept it. Because I know that when you have woken up to this world, in the Jagrat state, and so many things what we are experiencing day after day, and our transactions in this world every day is to such a high degree, it is very difficult for us to reject it and say, this is all false. Nobody will accept it. And that's why sometimes they say, where is the proof that there is a spiritual world exists? Where is the proof that Krishna is there? Where is the proof that that you can go to the spiritual world? All kinds of silly questions come. Silly in the sense, it is not silly from the materialistic point of view, because his consciousness is in that level. He has not thought anything about the Shastram, what Shastram is talking about it. All he has thought about it is, he is standing in his Jagrat condition, in his vacant state, and is making assumptions from there. He is not willing to move on to any other state to make any comparison. Even dream state he rejects, thinking, oh, it was just only a dream, he says. Or about the deep sleep, he says, I didn't know, I slept well, that's all I know. And in the fourth thing, if you talk about the Turiya state, realized state, he says, who knows, this is all true. This is the man in the vacant state he's talking about. And it is to this vacant man in the vacant state that you have to preach Krishna consciousness. So you can see the problem, where it is coming from. Problem is not outside, problem is in the person. And then we keep saying, oh, I must be preaching to him strongly. Preaching is not enough, preaching is not proper. That's why it's not going in. What preaching? What can preaching help? The man is suffering because he has so much woken up in his Jagrat state. He is so absorbed in this Jagrat that he will not under any circumstances recognize that he is under the control of his own mind. What to talk about the soul? That is why he is even doubting the soul, such a thing. He accepts that mind exists. That he is 100% sure about that. But soul exists, is doubtful about that. He says, people say so many things. Krishna is also saying something. Rama is saying something else. Shiva is saying something else. Jesus has said something. Muhammad has said something. Like this, they'll make some statements and they'll walk away from that. Why? That is where the powerful mind comes in. So, you can see why Krishna is hitting at the mind at every opportunity. Every opportunity, Krishna is hammering the mind. Did you not see in the previous chapters in the Bhagavad Gita? How much Krishna was talking about mind. So many chapters. Karma Yogam, to get into the purification of the mind. Jnana Yogam, to purify the mind. Bhakti Yogam, to purify the mind. Dhyana Yogam, to purify the mind. So who is our enemy? Nothing but this mind, isn't it? It is this mind that is causing everything. And in order that we have to, how to get out of this process of this mental state of existence or absorbed in the mind, that is why all these yoga systems have been developed. All these yoga systems have been developed. Jnanam, karmam, bhakti, all this is thing is only nothing but does only one thing. Once you have escaped from the mind, then you are identifying with the soul, you are released. Then you don't know anything about the mind. You are in your spiritual realized state. Or in other words, once you have realized and got there, then there is no question of getting affected by mind again. Mind cannot touch you after that. That is why in these six chapters in the Jnana Yogam process, Krishna is saying here so many interesting things for us to take note of. When you start thinking about all these things, you will also agree with Krishna at the end, Krishna is right. Otherwise, this conditioning or this entanglement what we are in today cannot be broken. It is not such an easy thing. So, Krishna says here that in a situation like this, when we are caught up in this condition with the mind controlling everything, mind will not allow you that if I tell somebody that you are not born or you don't die, things like that. You tell somebody you are not born and you don't die. Birth and death is with respect to what? With respect to this body. It has nothing to do with the soul, isn't it? Will he accept? Will anybody accept if you tell them you are not born? You think I am crazy, isn't it? But philosophy, Krishna is saying, no, you are not born and you don't die either. That's why at the end of the Bhagavatam, if you remember, we discussed this before, that Sudeva Goswami finally told Parikshit Maharaj that, what did he say? Give up this Pashubuddhi, isn't it? Pashubuddhi, animal's thinking. It's only animal thinks that he is dying. You see? Whereas, in human society, how many people think that they don't die? You can say 100% thinks that, isn't it? We all die. Isn't it? We always say that, and we make arrangements after death. We pay for the insurance, we pay for the funeral, we pay for the various arrangements, whatever we make. For what? Because we know we die one day, isn't it? To so deep-rooted is that in us, about this thing called death. And here Krishna is saying, you don't die. So if Krishna says, we don't die, why we have to do all these things then? Automatically that question comes, isn't it? So this is the nature of ignorance in us. Just let's not think ourselves that we are all very realized souls sitting here discussing Bhagavatam. No, that ignorance is so deep rooted in us that we are not even able to accept it, what Krishna is saying there. Krishna is saying that this has happened only because of this thing called mind. Jnanam, karmam, bhakti, all this is only meant for doing one thing, to get, wipe this mind off and release the soul from its control. The soul goes under its control. The soul is like this. As soon as he gets a friend, he takes its quality straight away. Straight away he catches him. Sometimes we see, sometimes mothers say about their children, oh, what has happened to your son? You ask the mother. Mother will say, what can I say? He had been associating with that boy from the next door or wherever it is. He has spoiled him like this. Similarly, the soul inside, he has got this good friend called mind inside. And due to his association, about which you can't do anything about it, you keep on doing things because of this association with the mind inside. He is a nasty character inside who is giving such a nice association for the soul. And the soul very happily accepts all that good qualities, what the mind is giving to him. And the soul goes under his control, virtually under his control all the time. So this is our internal situation inside. So, if the mind is rectified and mind has come to its proper state, in other words, if rajogunam and tamogunam completely goes away from a person and purely sattogunam exists in someone, then he will realize most of these things. He will realize most of these things. But then sattogunam is also a handicap. It's also a problem. Like rajogunam and tamogunam, it also brings its own problems. So how do we deal with this mind? That is the next question, isn't it? So in Krishna says here that manaparam karanamamanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. First thing is to identify that the mind is the cause of the whole problem. The root cause of all the problem is the mind. That has to be very clear in one's own head, that it is the mind that is causing everything, nothing else. Once you have accepted that, then you can understand that this mind has to come to a close. It cannot allow the mind to act freely the way it wants. So there are different ways of doing that. The Ashtanga Yoga system Patanjali Maharshi has developed, which is known as the Ashtanga Yogam. There you have this Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi. Ashtanga Yogam is of these 8 divisions, isn't it? Through these 8 processes, you can bring the mind under control. That is what the yogis are doing. The yogis are doing that. The jnanis, by constantly reflecting on these things through their intelligence, by constantly scrutinizing these different topics like Bhikshu Gita in the Bhagavatam and all the Brahma Sutram and all other important literature for them, they are also doing exactly the same thing, but through the power of knowledge, through intelligence. Through intelligence they do it, because they have understood, the message is clear to them, they got the message very clearly. that the mind is the problem. Now I have to attack the mind. How did they attack the mind? They attack the mind through knowledge. Through knowledge they keep the mind under control. Through very powerful discrimination. Powerful discrimination. And very, very strong renunciation from this world. That is why renunciation is required. Renunciation is required so that whatever knowledge is coming from Shastram, in order that to stay inside, we should not allow the mind to again mix with the material activities. That's why we have to refrain from there in order to protect our growing spiritual understanding. In order to keep that spiritual understanding growing all the time, we have to guard it by not allowing the mind to associate with the external world too much. You cannot have both together. As I mentioned before, spiritual life is such that we have to slowly break away this connection with this world, because that's not helping us in our understanding of the truth. So Krishna says here that once you come to this path, jnani is what they do, like the Ashtanga yogis have done through the eight kinds of processes. Jnani is through their very sharp intelligence and by strong discrimination and strong deep-rooted renunciation from this world, they fix their mind very much on the proper way, in the correct platform. Not allowing the mind to turn this side or that side. Mind is come to under their, they subdue the mind in that way. They subdue the mind in that way. What does the devotees do? Devotee's option is this. In the whole creation, if you look, the main cause of problem is the modes of nature. Isn't it? The three modes of material nature. So as long as you are in contact with the modes of nature, your mind will not give you any peace, any satisfaction. What is outside the three modes of material nature? There is only one thing in this world who is outside the three modes of material nature. Who is that? That's Krishna. Who controls the modes of nature? Who is never touched by the three modes of material nature. So if somehow or the other the mind associates with Krishna all the time, then there will be no modes of nature in the mind. Isn't it? There is no modes of nature anymore. Because provided the mind is absorbed in Krishna all the time. So in order to get the mind absorbed, you have to make some arrangement in such a way that the mind will not go away from Krishna under any circumstances. If that happens, in such a circumstances, the mind will not be victimized by the modes of nature, because Krishna is not under three modes of material nature. Krishna is not under the three modes of material nature. Not only that, when in order that to associate with Krishna all the time and to remember Krishna's form, you have to struggle very hard, because the mind won't allow you to go and do things like that freely, wouldn't it? As soon as you start chanting the holy name, immediately mind says, why are you wasting your time like this? That's the first question. Mind puts it to you straight away. And then 5 or 10 minutes battling between you and the mind, eventually if the mind takes over, the beats back finished, leaves there. You go, then you're gone. If you somehow manage, you tell the mind, you have to only wait for 16 rounds, let me finish this. Don't trouble me at least for 16 rounds. So you chant 16 rounds, mind says, 16 rounds I can allow you to do that. Because that's not a lot of time out of 24 hours, it's only 2 hours. 22 hours you are with me anyway, so that's fine for me. So you leave the beats back after 2 hours, back into again same business with the mind together. So if you want to escape from the modes of nature, Krishna is saying 24 hours you have to be with Krishna. That is required. Otherwise it's not possible. Because only Krishna is outside the modes of nature. Everything else is under the modes of material nature. So if you accept that, in order that to happen, these processes like Ekadashi, chanting the holy name, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is done only for this purpose. So that somehow or the other mind sticks with Krishna. And the fasting like Ekadashi and other things is with this goal that mind does not go away from Krishna. At least on Ekadashi day, you will think, at least it's Ekadashi day, let me chant a few extra rounds. And even while chanting the few rounds extra, some thoughts will come about Krishna if you are a little bit fortunate, that too. So the goal of all this is to keep the mind in Krishna's Krishna's lotus feet. That is the goal. If that becomes perpetually happening, then modes of nature is finished and then you are liberated from this world. When that flow is continuous and the mind is totally absorbed in Krishna's lotus feet, then material world doesn't exist anymore, you are self-realized, you are released from here. But that will not happen very easily because of the effort that we have put into that. Secondly, what you have to remember here also is, in order to have an engagement in Krishna consciousness like that, that means to chant Krishna's holy name by which you can remember him, or remember the holy name, all in order to do all that, you have to have some attachment for Krishna, isn't it? Otherwise, how will you do that? If you don't have any love for devotion for Krishna, you won't be attracted. By rules and regulations, you can't force a person to do it 24 hours. It's not possible. You can force a person to do for, say, 2 hours or 3 hours maximum or 4 hours like that. A few hours you can force a person and he will take it as a blunt instruction and follow it strictly as a commitment, you know. It's like a commitment he will do it. But commitment is not the goal. Commitment cannot bring this 24 hours engagement in Krishna consciousness. What will bring engagement in Krishna consciousness 24 hours is when attachment builds up for Krishna. When mind is having that devotion and develop the attachment for Krishna, then a stage will come that not even a second one can separate oneself from Krishna. Not even a second one can separate oneself from Krishna. So that is the state of consciousness or pure devotee stage. Pure devotee state of consciousness is that, where there is no more attachment to anything else in this world except Krishna and Krishna consciousness. And in that state, he is liberated like a jnani, liberates through knowledge and through intellectual exercise. There it is vicharam, here it is vikaram, emotions. His feelings for Krishna has become so strong in the devotee's heart that he finds it very hard not to think about Krishna. A stage will happen like this, and that is called bhakti. When he comes to that state of existence, it is called bhakti. Otherwise, it is not bhakti. Everything else is another transaction what we do in this world. Like so many things what we do for our own spiritual advancement. So, the jnani sees like this. And here also, another important thing what he has mentioned is this. That the brahmana is saying here, Nayam janome sugadukha hedu. Na devadalma grahakarma kalaha. People have this tendency to think that devadas are responsible for me. Different devadas, different demigods are causing me this problem. He says here, Brahmana says here, no, they are not responsible. That is all externally I think like that they are responsible. Sometimes we blame ourselves, isn't it? Oh, my time is not very good. I'm going through a bad patch of time in my life. Things like that, we make statement. Some people run to the astrologer looking for a solution. An astrologer thinks, oh, I got the right person now. Let me make some few bob out of him. That's what this astrologer is doing, isn't it? He says to him, oh look, you have got this, your Saturn planet is in a very bad shape. You have to do this thing. And then when Saturn is pleased, he won't give you any trouble and you'll be out of it soon. After 7.5 years, everything will be okay, he says to you. So this man is not thinking who has gone there. What have I done to Saturn that he has to punish me like this? Does he think that? No, he doesn't think that. He thinks, oh, everybody is going to the astrologer, let me also go to the astrologer. So astrologer realizes that this person is in trouble. That's why he has come to me. As soon as he senses he is in deep trouble, his fees goes up. He also puts up the fees at that time, isn't it? I am sitting here in this planet here, and this Saturn planet millions of miles away, he is rotating there. And even if you accept the demigod who is controlling that planet, what have I done to him that he has to punish me like this? Does he not think like this? Does he ever think that? No, doesn't. And then if you look at these different magazines, you see the amount of advertisement that comes in that. The astrologers coming from India, and this qualification is God. So much realization is God. He has placed so many planets like this way, that way. People go to all this and lives in, and to find out, solve all these problems. He says, come to me, he says. So, Bhagavatam, Brahmana is saying to us, what have the planets done? Actually, planets have no control on us. If you understand astrology properly, you can see that. Planets are not responsible for any of our miseries. That is very clear. The reason is this, that planets are only giving you an indication that a bad time is on its way. It can give you an indication. The science astrology is not wrong. Don't get me wrong. It is not wrong. The science is right. But what's wrong is that people put their faith in the wrong place and thinking that if I please those planets, I can escape from their enmity towards me. So there are 9 of them, not one. And all these 9 enemies I've created, sometimes all 9 are against you. Then what do? You go to every 9 of them and start begging, please don't trouble me, please don't trouble me. Sometimes 1 or 2 are very powerful of them, they give you very heavy trouble. And then you go to them and with your own remedies, whatever the astrologer has told to do. But from Bhagavatam point of view, na deva dalma graha karma kalaha. Graham is not responsible. Why? Because all this has come from ignorance, actually. The whole thing has come from the jnani's point of view. This is nothing but ignorance, all these things. Why? Because where you have fallen down is, you have fallen down from your spiritual identity as spirit soul. That's what actually you are. You are identified with the mind. And in this condition, you are finding solutions by going to the astrologer, going to the Ayurveda, going to the doctor, going that. Everything, even this disease doesn't exist as far as jnanis are concerned. Only because we don't identify with the soul, ordinary people, it is not possible. This is why I'm saying this. Jnana Margam is a difficult process. And jnanis generally don't treat their body. Properly realized jnanis, they don't treat their body. There are so many examples in the history. Because they have come to that kind of realization, they are saying, who has got the illness? I haven't got the illness, the body has got the illness. And to that extent they are realized. Once you have come to that platform, there is no illness. Illness doesn't exist. Illness exists for the body, and I am not the body, I have nothing to do with the body. What do I have to care? And that is the liberated state for the jnani. And jnani's experience is showing to us that it is much more clearer in the jnani's case because of his strong intellectual capacity and the determined mood of cultivating the spiritual knowledge and the intense sadhana he has performed in that direction. He gets released and then he gets fixed up in that strongly. And the more he gets fixed up, the more he is released from his material problems, what we identify with the body. This all sounds very impractical, isn't it? Very unrealistic also for us, because we are people who want comfortable life. We don't want to accept all these things, because when we say that jnanis are coming to the point to tell us that there is no such thing called disease, he says to us. Where is the disease? Because you have lost your proper identity as spirit soul, and you have identified with the material body, therefore you are feeling that, and your mind is creating this for you. But those who have got out of that mental platform, or the identification with the mind, who have separated, managed to escape from the control of the mind, for them this disease doesn't exist, and none of the material world even doesn't exist for them. Because as far as they are concerned, material world is only an apparent reality. It doesn't have a permanent existence either, isn't it? In fact, if you analyze the material world also, what do you experience in this world? Everything is changing, isn't it? These 6 kinds of changes, what happens? What are they? Shat Parinama Vedam, they call it. Something takes birth, it grows for some time, and it starts creating its byproducts. It stays like that, and then it starts decaying and eventually death. So these 6 things, which is known as the 6 kinds of transformations, what happens to everything in this world is called in the Shastra Manishad Parinama Vedam. So this, it is only transformation happening all the time. Our own body, if you take, as you know, from the Bhagavad Gita, you can see that. That's what Krishna is talking to us. That body what we had previously doesn't exist anymore. A young body, a boy's body, a young body, youthful body, a middle-aged man, an old man. Body has changed all. But in spite of all this logic and reasoning what Krishna has given to us, we are unable to still change our understanding. Unable to change. We are helpless. That is why that makes us a conditioned soul. This is why we are called a conditioned soul. Conditioned soul is nothing but helplessly going behind, following the mind. That is the nature of the conditioned soul. Liberated soul is that soul which is completely fixed upon its spiritual identity as the spirit soul and not able to hear one word from the mind. Mind is finished for him. So in two different realized state and the conditioned state, our mind, our consciousness, everything is different. Because of that, the man who is conditioned, he calls the liberated person as out of order. And the liberated person, he calls the conditioned person as out of order. So this contradiction between the liberated and the conditioned states is difficult to change in any circumstances. So, there, if you look at it this way, everything has come from the knowledge. As I mentioned, you are experiencing this world because that's the knowledge the mind has picked up. Isn't it? It is within this knowledge that it is happening. And that is why it is difficult to wipe it out. Because it is in your knowledge. It has taken position in your knowledge. Now, the Krishna is saying here that the karmam what we perform is also not responsible. All the time we are used to thinking about karmam, isn't it? We say karmam is responsible. We have, to some extent it is correct also. Karmam is responsible. But who has done the karmam again? Who performed the karmam? If you start analyzing that way, you will see the spirit soul hasn't done any karmam. So why should karmam follow him? It is again the mind that is experiencing that karmam, what we are talking about. So many things, experiences in life, we want to find out where it has originated from, isn't it? Where it is originated from. And we know that looking into our own situation, you can see that the mind is the very center of all the activities. And unless and until the mind has been rectified or mind has changed, it is not possible to stop this cycle. Stop this cycle. Karmam, every one of us says, it's my karma, bad karma. I have done something wrong. And that is why I am experiencing this. But if you go to a higher level and think from a spiritual position, a spirit soul, even karmam cannot touch you. Because spirit soul is independent. Karmam doesn't touch Krishna. And we are part and parcel of Krishna, so why karmam should touch us? It is happening because under the control of the mind, jiva has to accept the reactions of the karma. Only under the conditions of control of the mind. Once this mind is killed, then everything gets wiped out in one lot. Karmam, kalam, planets, demigods, whatever you want to say, everything is gone from there. They have no more influence. So the whole problem is, Krishna is saying to us, that like the Brahmana realized, Brahmana has gone very deep into the whole thing. That's why he is able to speak so categorically. He is telling us that I am not any of these things. Why I have to be frightened of them? Why I have to be frightened of them? But all these things, it is easy to speak. It is easy to speak and explain things. When it comes to practice, jiva is very weak. The individual is very, very weak. He has no, he may, for a moment he may realize it, for a moment he may accept it, but the moment we entangle in our daily affairs in this world, everything backs to normal again. Isn't it? Normal means completely controlled by the, driven by the mind. So, but this Ekadasha Skandam is a discussion like this. Everything requires continuous effort from our side also to implement that in our life. If we just study it like we study in the college and schools to write the exam and get the certificate, then it will have no benefit. It won't have any use. You may as well don't read Bhagavatam, leave it there. It's better not to read it. But if you read Ekadasha Skandam and if you want to have the benefit of Bhagavatam, then all these things what we are discussing and reading in the Bhagavatam, that should go a little bit deeper into our own life. Otherwise it will not have any effect. So, one question may come here, that what happens in deep sleep then? In deep sleep, what's happening is, why we are not experiencing the world outside? Where does our knowledge go? Where did this all begin from? It begins from ignorance, isn't it? You know, when we recite this verse, Ajnanatimirandasya, that Ajnanam word is such a powerful word in that verse. We don't even know what it means, do we? We don't even talk about it much because we just think it's okay. Ajnanatimirandasya, Ajnanatimirandasya, we say also. But that word Ajnanam is the whole cause of everything. I'll give you an example how deep this ignorance is. From ignorance called Ajnanam, ignorance is not the precise word to reflect the whole meaning of Ajnanam. From Ajnanam comes what is called as Tamogunam, isn't it? Tamogunam begins from there. And mind, and only from Ajnanam only Tamogunam comes, because the reflection of the soul in the intelligence, which I mentioned before, is called knowledge. The knowledge is called by reflection of the soul in the intelligence. Please follow this bit carefully. When the soul is reflecting in intelligence, we experience the external world and we acquire knowledge. Knowledge of certain things in this world, isn't it? With our intelligence we acquire. So that capacity for the intelligence to acquire knowledge has come from the soul. Has come from the soul. So, if that knowledge, what has been capacity, what's been given to the intelligence by the soul, is completely flooded with ignorance, that knowledge is completely flooded. Knowledge means not the knowledge what we are talking about generally. Knowledge means the capacity to know things. That's knowledge. Yeah, capacity to know things. If that capacity is completely filled with tamogunam or ignorance, what will happen? The tamogunam will start working, influencing the mind, isn't it? Mind gets associated with the modes of nature. So as soon as the association starts with the tamogunam, tamogunam will give desires. Desires will build up in a person. Desires will build up in a person. As soon as desires build up, what is the next step? Action will begin from the person. As soon as the action begins, what happens? He wants to fulfill his desire. So he has started the action. Once the action is started, if the results are not coming, he increases his endeavor. And when the action starts and the endeavor starts, immediately Rajogunam takes over. Immediately Rajogunam takes over. If at some point in time, if by some good fortune Satugunam comes in, Satugunam tells you, don't struggle for that, it's not worthwhile. And that comes from Satugunam. Give you an example. While walking on the street, you saw a nice mango tree standing there. When you looked at the mango tree, nice summer time, a wonderful mango is there on top of the mango tree. And it is fully ripe, ready to eat, and the quality first class mango. Immediately, Tamogunam is telling, let me have that mango. The desire came straight away to have the mango. Isn't it? Desire comes in. The desire comes in to have the mango. So, it only takes a few minutes by then to move on to Rajogunam straight away. Rajogunam says, let me work for it now to get it out from the tree. The mango is such a very top of the tree and it requires a bit of effort to get the mango from there. So you have to climb the mango tree, isn't it, to the top. So in order to get there, the effort has to start. Rajogunam tells, don't worry about it, put your best thing, somehow or the other get out of the tree. But when you look at the tree, there's a lot of ants running over the tree. And it's not going to be a very easy affair to climb onto the tree. So then you decide, some people what they do, you know, they rub the ashes on the body. So that while climbing, the ants will run away from you, they won't bite. So he intensifies his effort to climb the tree. Then you are thinking at the same time, suddenly a thought comes in, why put all this effort just for a mango? Can I not manage without a mango? This thought comes in, that is Satugunam. So Satugunam tells you not to endeavor, Rajogunam tells you endeavor at every cost, and Tamogunam tells you, whatever you do, I want it. So the three gunas comes one after the other, and depending on their intensity, you are controlled by that. You are controlled by the modes of nature, and the mind happily goes along with it, whatever that is happening. So, this is the way the living entity gets entrapped in this world. It has no freedom. These three gunas are working all the time, one way or the other. And he is thinking himself, kartasmi nipadyade, I am the doer, he is thinking. What he is doing? He is not doing anything. According to his mind and the modes of nature, he is dragging him in different ways. And that's all what it is happening. So Krishna is making it clear to us here that that if you want to free yourself from dvandvam, from the duality of the material world, all these things must be very strongly followed up in one's own thoughts. And he should be able to, that is why jnanis, they know that there is no point in endeavoring in this world very much. They have already given up. They don't need anything to do with this world. To such an extent, they have disconnected from this world. That is jnanamargam. So you can see how difficult it is for most of the ordinary people. It will be too much to expect from ordinary people to follow that process. And this is the reason when we say jnanamargam is not for everybody. Jnanamargam is only for a very, 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 very few selected people who can accept it and execute it properly. And the first thing what is required is that total detachment from this world. Total detachment. The way jnanis puts it is like this. Shavandamotra purishaval tyajyaha. That is a statement. What it means is that when you see this hog, you know, the pigs who eats the stool, you feel a bit disgust in your mind, isn't it? You feel a bit disgusted with the animal very happily eating the stool. Like we eat halwa, it eats that, isn't it? So when you see that, you feel disgusted with it, isn't it? And in the most holy dhams also you find them there, very happily enjoying their times there. So, when they eat that stool, you feel disgusted. But, if you feel the excretia of that animal, how much you will feel disgusted? It has already eaten this stool, and if you see the excretia from that animal when it comes out, and its family members are enjoying that, how disgusted you will feel. To such a degree, if you feel disgusted with this world, you can come to Jnanamargam, Krishna says. If such a degree, if you get disgusted with this world, then you can come to Jnanamargam. Otherwise, don't go in that direction. It's not for us. It's not for us. We are people. What can we give up in this world? Think about it. What have we given up in this world? I've thought many times, whether I could give up anything. I'm only telling my case. I couldn't give up anything. Nothing. It's nothing I could give up. Even small things which I thought I have given up, when the right time came, I couldn't give it up. I felt that it is necessary. This is our situation. And I'm sure that most of you will agree that our so-called giving up is all on the lips. It's all on the lips. What to talk about? We are people who want everything in this world. Our desires are like that. It is no point in saying, I am renounced, I am detached, I am wearing saffron, I got danda, this, that and the other. But inside what is in me, I know better. More than anybody else. So, Krishna is saying that, before we come to this process of Jnanamargam, if you have this kind of detachment to this world, in other words, you hate this. Hate means you do not want anything to do with this material life and materialistic existence. To such a degree, you have already come to your conclusion. There are people like that. Don't think that they don't exist. They do exist. That they have walked out from their house in one lot because that deep realization they have come to, that they were able to release themselves from this bondage once for all. To such people, Jnanamargam will work through the process of studying the Upanishads. Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, Panchadashi, then Yoga Vasishtam, that's all their literature. And all of them talks about this one point strongly all the time, talking about cultivation of renunciation, detachment from this world. Because if that renunciation is strong, then whatever knowledge they are acquiring from the Vedic literature, that will have its immediate impact on the person. Immediate impact. impact on the person. And it will be very quick acting also. And they will see that in a very short time they are moving up in the ladder. They are moving up in the spiritual ladder. But this qualification is there, required for before beginning that process. So that is the process that Jnani follows. Now for a devotee, what choice has he got? Devotee's world is like this. Devotee wants to take Krishna's shelter. Devotee wants Krishna. Devotee also wants the comforts of this world. Isn't it? Then he is unable to give it up anything. He is unable to give it up anything. Somehow or the other, by mercy of Krishna, he has come to contact with Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And through the message of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, he has realized that my life is not simply for eating and sleeping and to maintain a family. At least that much realization he has come to. So he wants to go further in spiritual life. He hasn't got any other means except to chant the holy name, to study Srimad Bhagavatam, take prasadam, and other processes, so simple processes, what is available for him. On the one hand, Krishna consciousness is giving him, inducing him to follow the process of spiritual life. On the other hand, the mind is dragging him back to the material life. So, in this way, Narvinna karma marghe khalimadi vishamam. Narvinna karma marghe. Karma margam is very difficult. And at the same time, for those who are attached, that is the only option left, karma margam. But we devotees know also that karma margam does not suit him. Karma margam is meant for those who are very attached to the results, isn't it? Those who are attached to the results. For them, it is very difficult for them to give up anything. For such people, karma margam is necessary. Karma yoga is recommended before they come to bhakti or jnana. So, Krishna says here, in this particular instance now, in the case of the brahmana, that when you come to the deep sleep state, what happens then is that the reflection of the soul in the intelligence, that gets dissolved in ignorance. That's what happens at that point. The reflection of the soul in the intelligence is called jiva, isn't it? Which I mentioned before. And that reflection is the conditioned state of the soul. Because the moment it is through this reflection that the connection with the external world started. And once the relationship has started with the external world, only external world is true for us. Nothing else is true. So constantly what we are doing in our life is increasing this ignorance day by day through our material activities. At no point in time we are thinking about withdrawing from this, do we? At no point in time we are thinking about withdrawing from this world. Every moment we are thinking how to get more involved in this, isn't it? That's how we have been trained and we have been taught like that. But spiritually, Krishna says, if one wants to change this situation, first thing what he has to do is to turn the mind inwards. At the moment, it is outward looking all the time. It's only looking outwardly. It's not taking anything from inside. Inside what's happening, it's not bothered, is it? All it's concerned. Remember, every one of us, from morning to night, what do? Adjusting the external world, is it not? Paying bills, or fighting with someone, or quarreling with someone, or arguing with someone, or instructing somebody. All this is going on. These are all the activities, what do we do outside? And these activities are the activities of the mind meant for, not for inward looking mind, but for outward looking. As long as it is outward looking, the mind is growing all the time. And that means mind is getting a better control on the soul, on the individual soul. But the moment the mind turns inwards and stops its dealing with the outside world, the mind will quieten down. And that is what is called Andarmukhatvam. Andarmukhatvam means looking inwards. All the great sages, they have succeeded in this. That is why their minds don't disturb them. They are not disturbed by the mind. Because over a long, long period of time, through their deep absorption, they have learned how to direct the mind inwards. and the mind has gone inwards. Everything what we do is to get this at the end, to stop this mind going wandering here and there. If you fight against the mind, it's not going to work. It's not going to work because he is so powerful. He is so powerful, you are not going to win the battle. You are going to be not going to win the battle. What you can do through the processes given to us, like the chanting process. The purpose is, by chanting, we get closer to Krishna by the process of chanting the holy name. In other words, at that time, naturally the mind surrenders. Mind has no choice now. Because you are constantly in touch with Krishna. And when you are in touch with Krishna, where does this mind come from? Mind comes from Maya. Who has created this mind? Maya has created. Maya has a job to do in this world. That is why she has created this thing called mind. And that mind is not going to go away. Maya is controlling her. So only time when you can escape from Maya is when you have gone under Krishna's control. When Krishna has taken thee, when you have taken complete shelter of Krishna. So, the important point to remember here is that if you fight against Maya, you won't win. Fighting against mind means fighting against Maya basically. If you fight against Maya, you won't win. But what is the best thing? The mind has to close itself down. It has to stop its activities. So if somebody, say for example in this world, somebody shouts at you. If you reply back, what will happen? Immediately you'll get much more fired up, isn't it? You'll get heavier. And then you'll get more heavier. This can go further and further. But if you respond all the time by smiling, not answering back to him, eventually he will have to lose. He has to lose at the end. He's not going to win. What can he do if you keep on doing that? So similarly, Maya is like that. If you fight against Maya, you're going to lose. You're not going to win the battle with Maya. Similarly with the mind also. But if you don't allow the mind, if you don't allow, give the opportunity for the mind to grow, that you can do. That much is in your control. But if you say to yourself, no, I'm not going to go anywhere, I'm not going to meet anybody and sit here tight, my mind I will control, from inside he will start the work, from inside. And he will not allow you to do anything. In 2 minutes time you will be running somewhere else, I have to do this, I have to do that, this, that. This is the nature of the mind. Mind is something considered to be like a monkey inside. The best comparison for monkey and the mind. Monkey and mind is not much different. Monkeys, you have seen how the monkeys live in this world, jumping from one tree to another, or one branch to another, and doing whatever it wants and whenever it wants, and giving as much trouble as possible to others. And like this, it lives its life. And this mind is also not much different than that. He also does exactly the same thing. Only thing is, we think that we are in control of the mind, and we very happily walk around with full confidence that everything is under control. We think like that. What is under control? Nothing is under control. The whole mind is dictating and we are going along with it without any, helplessly. You know. So that is why it is said that don't try to control the mind. You won't be able to do that. Processes like Ashtanga Yogam can help if one is capable of doing all that, the 8 kinds of yoga system. But ordinary people like us, what possibility is there? So therefore, in Bhakti Yoga process, by chanting the holy name is the easiest process to bring that control of the mind. And quietly, 2 things Krishna says are absolutely essential for one who wants to advance on the path of spiritual life through Bhakti process. What are they? One is called Titiksha. Titiksha means to tolerate everything in this world. So many people will give you trouble, like the Brahmana had received enough trouble from the boys, isn't it? So similarly, people will come and give you enough trouble in different ways. But Krishna says that if you have this quality of titiksha, of tolerating such things, that will allow the mind not to react. That will help the mind not to react. But if you react to any situation, immediately what it means is that the mind is growing inside. That means it's going to cause more problems later. So therefore, this quality of titiksha is necessary. And the second one is what is required is Shraddha. Shraddha means, we discussed this before, Shastrasya, Guruvakyasya, Satya Buddhyava Dharana, Sa Shraddha. That means absolute faith in Krishna's words, in Shastram. Absolute faith in the words of the spiritual master. That faith. These are the two things in the spiritual master's words as well as the words of the Shastram. Satya Buddhyava Dharana. That means you do not make any kind of doubts on that. Those words are absolute. Because they are coming from the spiritual master who is self-realized. And it is coming from Krishna who is the absolute truth. So that cannot be put into questioning. Or that cannot be put into test. That's not our business. We shouldn't do that. Under all circumstances, the words of the spiritual master and the words of Krishna is absolute. There is no room there for any testing or maneuvering anything there. There it is absolute. So when one has that kind of Shraddha, seriousness in spiritual life, that is called Shraddha. Shastrasya, Guruvakyasya, Satya Buddhyava Dharana. Satya Buddhi. There you are not doubting anything. Absolutely accepting without any questioning. And secondly, as I mentioned, Tiriksha, tolerating things from this world. If these things are done, the mind will subdue at the end. Mind has no choice then. Because knowledge you have accepted from Krishna and you have rejected the material world through Tiriksha. When these two things are done, then the spiritual life becomes a lot easier, Krishna says. Just imagine how struggle, how trouble all this is to put it into practice in life. And you can imagine that how many rounds we have to chant if we have to get to this stage. Do you think 16 rounds is enough? Does anyone think 16 rounds is doing too much? No. Even if you do 192 rounds a day, it's not enough. That is the kind of mind enemy we are fighting with. Prabhupada's spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, when he took up this mission of preaching Krishna consciousness, first thing he realized that he has to fight was this thing called mind. What did he do? For 7 long years, every single day, he chanted 192 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So now you know why we are like this and they are like that. So that's the answer to that. Sometimes people ask, what's that I'm not doing, then I'm not getting there? People ask this question, isn't it? They say, what more I have to do now? I've done everything now, what more I have to do? I've been told 16 rounds, I've done that. I followed 4 regulative principles and I come to the temple. I've done all what I've been told. Now still I'm not getting there. Why? That's the question. Now the answer is here. The answer is this. That those who have proper understanding of the... First they know what the problem is. Problem is this thing called mind. And mind won't come under control. Mind won't come under control under any circumstances. No matter what you do, he is going to beat you at the end. You cannot win over the mind. And why? Because the answer is very simple. If you have won, you won't be experiencing the 3 modes of nature. You will be situated in your spiritual identity. You are self-realized then. The fact that you are not self-realized is the clear indication that mind is still on control of us. We are not above the mind. So that is where that big distinction comes. It is the powerful nature of the mind that's not allowing us to realize our true identity as the spirit soul. So, Krishna says here, there are many examples in the philosophy to get this point clearer. For example, you see, in the Bhagavatam, that same example is given in few places. In Brahmastuti it's there. In the Dwadasa Skandam also it's spoken. Sukadeva Goswami brings the same example again and again. When you see a rope in the night, you have mistaken it as a snake, isn't it? And what is the immediate impact on you? You are thinking that that is a snake. You are totally convinced it is a snake. And not only that, if by chance you have put your feet on that rope, which is actually a rope, but for the moment it is a snake, what happens to you? Immediately the fear builds up inside, isn't it? Oh, I've touched the snake. And by chance, if you felt any, ever bitten or something, that's enough. Either you are dead there itself. Or the next thing you will do is to run to the next hospital, if you can manage to get there by then. Then what should I do now? The snake has bitten me. You are 100% sure in your mind that you are bitten by the snake. Whereas the snake even doesn't exist. isn't it? The snake even doesn't even exist. But you are so sure in your mind that you have been bitten by the snake and you are suffering from the snake bite and you are going to die as well. All these three. And there are people who have died like this by not being bitten by the snake, but out of that fear alone inside. The snake is a thing which brings fear to everybody so easily, isn't it? Especially poisonous snakes. And in the villages and all, it can happen very often. People get, it is in their back of the mind, is there a snake on the road while walking in the roads? But they will, by chance in the darkness, I had this experience many times, when you walk through the street, you are always looking if there is a snake, but some living entity passes through, still you are looking again, is it a snake or not? That thought comes straight away. Why? Because in the fear that it generates inside, that is again, who does that? The mind does that. So, as long as you are thinking that the snake is there instead of the rope, that fear of the snake, the death from the snake, and all the other repercussions of that is not going to go away. And that is truth with this world also. Till we come to realize that it was not snake, it was rope. As soon as you realize it was rope, what happens? The fear of snake is gone, disappeared immediately. Only then you start thinking, oh, what a foolish person I was thinking that it was a snake, and now I realize it's a rope. And now you take the rope and start looking at it. Oh, you are the one who are frightening me all the time, isn't it? You start looking at it. But up to that point, the snake is real. The snake is real. It has only become unreal only when the true identity came to you, isn't it? It is exactly like that. As long as we don't know about the soul and we don't understand the soul, this world is true, mind is true, our activities are all true, everything is absolute in this world. The moment we wake up to our spiritual reality and leave this identity with this world and come to the spiritual platform and identity realizes that we are soul, then this world doesn't exist for us anymore. This world is temporarily conceived in the Jagrat state in this world when we are here. And we have taken this as the real truth and everything else is something unknown entity. Why? Exactly like the snake and rope situation. That's why that example is very famous, Rajusarpam. It's in the Brahma Sutra. Lord Brahma talks about that. And also it is in two or three places. And eventually Parishad Maharaj was also spoken by Sudeva Goswami, says, gives the same example. That this is how difficult it is to come to realize ourselves what we are. And this is what Krishna says one should do in one's life. Not anything else. Don't look for hospitals, charities, this, that. All those things are less important compared to this one point. And that is why Bhagavad Gita is the only scripture in this world. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the one which is giving you all the help, what is necessary to identify, to realize our true identity. And that's the only business in human life. And that is all what Krishna has asked us to do. Nothing else. Krishna didn't tell us in the Bhagavatam, you build hospitals, you build schools, you build power plants, you build computers, you build this, you build that. You do whatever you want to do, Krishna says, that's your business. But as far as Krishna is concerned, so only one and only one instruction in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is this, find out what you are. And that is the most difficult of all the things. You can see, when you go through this again and again, you will see, and that Brahmana has come to understand, he was able to identify this. That's why he said, Nayam janome sukadukha hedu, na devadalpa griha karma kala, manaparam karanama manandi, samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. I am going on in this giant wheel because of this thing called mind. He was able to identify. That was his success and that's where our failure is. We'll stop there. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.